Hey loves, welcome to Becoming P31 with your host, Jazzy Nicole. You guys, this podcast is all about becoming a Proverbs 31 woman, and I am more than grateful that you decided to embark on this journey with me as we work towards becoming the woman that God designed us to be. We're going to talk about the ups, the downs, the highs, the lows. We may get a little messy, but all in the honor of God, and I'm just thankful that you guys are here. Stay tuned for today's episode. Talk to you soon. Bye. Hey. Welcome back to Becoming P31 with your host, Jazzy Nicole. Hi, how you been? How you been doing? You came back. What up, sis? I love this rest. You guys, you know I got to check in with y'all. I always got to check in with y'all. If anybody gonna check in with y'all, it's gonna be me. How you doing? How you feeling? Tell me about your week, sis. Lay it on the table. Baby, let me ask you this. Have you talked to God this week? Have you been in your word this week? Because that's the goal, baby. That's how we overcome the challenges is we talk to God. We stay in our word. How are you doing this week with your word? And if you're doing the Proverbs 31 challenge, where every day in October we're reading a verse of Proverbs, how are you doing with that? And what has been your favorite verse so far? Girl, I know I'm just loading you with questions, but I'm just, I need to catch up. It's been a whole 7 days. I need to see how you do it. How you feeling? What the young kids say, how you what? I need to see how you what? Me personally, you guys, this week has been, when I tell you that Proverbs 31 challenge has been beautiful, amazing. The community has been amazing. It's been just that. And if you are interested in the updates from the Proverbs 31 challenge, you already know that my TikTok is linked in the description box. I talked about that last week, but it's linked in the description box where every single day I'm dropping a kind of like a just an overview of the Proverbs of the day, what I got from it. The comment section never fails, honey. They always hit. They're going back and forth about what they learned and what they picked up, and even throwing other verses in there that tie to it. I'm in love with community. It's been a really good week. Unfortunately, my youngest daughter actually had an accident this week. You know, we live on a two-story, so upstairs, downstairs, and I was mopping, right? Now, they're on spring break, so I normally, or not spring break, girl, what is it? Fall. They're on fall break. 2 weeks. Can we stop for a second and say this? How long are your kids on fall break for? I know I'm like topic hopping, but that's a real question because my kids are on fall break for 2 weeks. And I told their teacher, I said, listen, y'all being a little greedy with the time off. 2 weeks is a lot. 2 weeks is a lot. It's a bit much, but they're on break for 2 weeks. And so they're home and I was deep cleaning the house and I'm mopping downstairs. And I forgot to tell her, she's my youngest. She is a little bit clumsy, but it's cool. That's my baby. And while I was upstairs in my office, I just hear this thump. She went down the stairs. She has this thing where she jumps off the bottom step every single time. And I'm like, baby, do not jump off the steps. But of course, mommy's not down there. Mommy's not watching. She jumps off the steps, slips, falls on her elbow, and we have a fracture. So my youngest, I had to take her to the emergency room to put her in a cast. And so she's dealing with the uncomfortableness about this. She's dealing with the uncomfortable season. She's not in super pain, which is amazing. She didn't break it. It was just a fracture. But honestly, this situation showed me how much patience I really got. Like, God has been working on me, baby, with my patience. Cause honestly, she's cried a few times, this week about, you know, being uncomfortable, but boy, just me just soothing my baby. Like, my patience is okay. God, I see you. I asked for my patience and he did deliver. So if you know what I'm saying, let me explain just a little bit more. If you are someone who has little patience, like myself, I'm a claimant. I got a small amount of patience, and you want to ask God to help you get more patience, he gonna put you through some things that's gonna teach you patience. He gonna make you lean on him, number one, but then he gonna teach you how to have a little bit more patience. And then when you finally see that, like, dang girl, your patience is good. My patience is good. It's good. Perspective is getting better. So Anyway, my baby's healing. My baby's doing fine. She gets her new cast put on next week. So we are blessed, too blessed to be stressed. Which reminds me, you guys, I went into Hobby Lobby this week. And I know Hobby Lobby is a store for like arts and crafts, but they got some nice Bible books. If you're looking for a Bible book to really just get you something different, I went in there, y'all, and I found this book. It's called Too Blessed to Be Stressed. It's a 3-minute daily devotional for women of God. And it's cute. It's a little pocket book and it's a 3-minute devotional. And how much you think I paid for it? Right. I paid $3.49. If you're looking for, I don't know, just some more books to add to your arsenal in your studying, or you just want something else, or you just want a little bit of razzle to your dazzle, a little bit more Bible study, you might want to check out Hobby Lobby. Because $3.49, baby, we with it. We with it. It's cute, too. It's called Too Blessed to Be Stressed, and it's written by Deborah Cotty, I think, Coty. So it's real cute. $3. Get you a Hobby Lobby book if you want to add something to your arsenal. But anywho, so I know that I'm so sorry. I know that was long, but let's get into it. So today's episode is called Finding Identity in Christ. And I'm excited. Ooh. Let me tell you why. Because man, I know all of us has been through a journey of identity crisis. And I wanted to talk about that because we are in October. The year is almost over. And that year flew by. Like, it felt like July was yesterday. It's October. It feels like July was yesterday and February was 3 days ago. It feels like this year has been flying by. We are almost mid-October. And in being mid-October, we have 2.5 months before the year is over. And with two and a half months that is about to be over, you already know, at the beginning of the year, everybody want to revamp stuff. If you're doing the Proverbs 31 challenge where you read the Proverbs verse every day, we're all about glowing up. You got people adding fitness challenges to their Proverbs challenge. It's all about glowing up. And identity, and who am I, and what I want to be, and thriving, and how do I want to end the year? But then how do I want to start 2025? So perfect time to do a tap in and see how you're feeling. And I do want to talk about your identity in Christ. So let's get on to it. So today specifically, we are diving into identity as it relates to being the Proverbs 31 woman, but finding our identity in Christ. But let's talk first about what does it mean to have an identity crisis? What does that mean? So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3-4 in the NIV version. For your beauty should not come from the outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles, wearing gold jewelry, or fine clothes. Rather, it should be your inner self, the unfading beauty of gentle and quiet spirit, which is great worth in God's sight. Let's talk about this one. So, y'all know one thing about me, baby. I'm going to have a new hairstyle. I'm gonna have a new hairstyle. I know how to do my own hair, thank God. And because of that reason, I get really bored really quickly with hairstyles. I'm always have new hair. And to be honest, gold is my favorite color, or my favorite color of jewelry, period. I can't get down with silver. I know a lot of girlies are silver girlies. I can't get down with it. I don't know. I got a little bit of silver, but gold is my color. But a lot of times we tend to focus a lot on what we look like on the outside versus inner. And in 1 Peter, they're reminding us the importance of focusing on your inner beauty instead of your outer. And I love this for us because inner beauty versus outward appearance, it's not mutually exclusive, if that's the word I want to use. It's not the same thing. And we, as you get older, you realize that, like, you can think about, you know, I think we all got that one girl that we can think of at the top of our head where in school she was like really, really pretty, but her attitude was off. You know what I'm saying? Like she was a little snarky, you know, I think we all got somebody like that probably in our heads. Or maybe we were her. Shoot. Hey, no judgment zone here. No judgment zone here. But we all can identify a story or someone that we've had that experience with, if not even ourselves. Me personally, y'all, I've been through so many seasons, and I think all of us have, where our focus was different. I can't remember after I had my first daughter and me and my children's father were no longer together, my focus was different. I was really heavily focused on the way I looked, what I wore, who I was around, where I was at. I was outside, honey, newly single, because we was together for 12 years at that time before we broke up. But like, newly single, young, body tea. My body was tea. Okay, body tea. I was outside trying to be cute, dressing in the finest Charlotte Russe outfits. Maybe one thing about me, I had a slew of Charlotte Russe shoes. Them shoes was $25. You tell me I didn't have no Charlotte Russe shoes. But I'm in Indianapolis. Was Charlotte Russe a thing where you were at? Was that a thing? Because to me, it was Charlotte Russe shoes for $25, and it was Dots. Dots was the clothing store. I used to go in and get my outfit from Dots. Dots was like our Rainbow. Cute. Okay. Get me some jewelry from Claire's and be outside. And that was that. That was that. And that was my focus. I was one of them where I would be at the club at 9 o'clock just to make sure I could get in for free. Don't judge me. I'd be in there at 9 o'clock. Everybody else will show up in an hour and a half, but I'm trying to save a couple coins. Let me get in here. But I was way too focused on what I look like on the outside. But on the inside, baby, I had nothing together. Nothing. Stressed out, overwhelmed, overworked, tired of my situation. I was in that season where I was tired of my situation. And as I got a little bit older, that changed. Yeah, that changed. As I started to grow into my womanhood, my identity shifted to where I started focusing more so on accolades, like achievements. You know, I was a single mother. Me and my children's father got back together at some point, stayed together, had another child. And when we finally ended it, I was like, you know what? I can do better. I can do by myself. I don't need no man, baby. I went and I got my house built. I went and I got a single mother, two kids, two smaller kids, got another degree. So I have, you know, degrees. I'm out here focused on elevating myself for my career. I was advanced to a supervisor in my job. And then a senior supervisor. I was so focused on accolades, it was crazy. And I'm still proud of my achievements. Don't get me wrong. Because I worked 40 hours a week with two kids by myself. And also had full credits at school. Did that for 2 years straight. I remember going to work. And I was a supervisor, so I was able to be flexible. But I would go into work at 8 o'clock, leave work at noon, drive to IUPUI campus. That's the college here, Indianapolis University, Purdue University, Indianapolis. It's called IUPUI. I would drive 30 minutes to campus, take my class on site, drive back to work, be at work. At this time, I think I was working 8 to noon and then 4 to 8. So I would be back at work at 4 o'clock, work until 8, get off at 8, go pick up my kids from their grandma's house, his mom's house, and go home, get them ready for bed, cook, make sure they had dinner, you know, such and such, such and such, wake up and do it all again. I was in grind mode. And yes, I was very proud of that. But that became my identity. So I had a season where my identity was what I looked like on the outside, where I was at, who I was with, you know, what guy I could catch, to be honest. And then I had a season where it was accolades. Let me work achievements. Let me try to establish a level of career that I was happy with. And I still was not happy. When I say I was, I don't know how I did it. I don't know how I did it. And you know what's crazy is, like, I thought at the time, I had a relationship with God at that time when I was working and going back and forth to school. You kind of need the relationship with God. I had a relationship with God outside of church. I didn't go to church. I was not consistent in my word. But one would think I had it all together because I had the job, I had the degree. When I graduated from college, I had on my hat. my graduation hat. I had only by his grace on my graduation hat. You know, you can design your graduation hats. My graduation hat was fire. It was cute. But it said only by his grace on my graduation hat. So I thought I had a relationship with God. I didn't really hear him for real. I knew I loved him. I knew he loved me because ain't no way I could get through what I got through without his love. But I wasn't in my word. I really wasn't in the church for real. I would pray to him when I was going through something. When I was going through something, when I was breaking down, the times I was contemplating suicide, yeah, I would pray to him then. So to me, that was the relationship. And that was the season. Focus on accolades. Jesus, God is my backseat. You know, God is my backup plan, but I got this. I was in that season, the I got this season. And then godly correction. And there's three points to do that, besides referring to Galatians chapter 1 through 10, but looking at seeking God's approval first, because if we seek his approval, then we won't have to worry about anybody else's. His is enough. His grace is sufficient. He good, baby. His is enough. Breaking free from people pleasing is another way. That's hard. That takes some therapy. That takes us understanding and uncovering why we do what we do. But in order to do that, number three, you got to be authentic with yourself. You have to be transparent and authentic with yourself. Seek God's approval. Work on people pleasing and be authentic in that journey. These three things will allow you and really help you with letting go of expectations. What people expect from you, what you expect from you, let that go. We want God's approval. Now, let's just assume you're in a season where you're seeking God's approval. You are eliminating people pleasing. You're going through therapy. You're working really hard on that. You are being authentic in your journey with yourself and with other people who are also, you know, with you on this journey. You're being transparent. You're being authentic. Even in that journey where you are working on being your best self, there's going to be some imperfections. It's okay. And we want to be perfect. No lie. None of us want to be faulty. We want to be perfect. We want to be perfect vessels. We want to be perfect vessels. But we also must understand that there's going to be seasons that we have to understand that we got to embrace the imperfection. My therapist gave me a book a while ago, and I have not read it yet, but she said it was good. I got to read it. She gives me assignments sometimes, and sometimes I remember them. Sometimes I don't. This was one I have not 100% remembered. I see it on my desk with my other Bible study books, and I got to pick it up. But she said it was good, so I'm going to recommend it to you. It's called The Gift of Imperfection by Brené Brown. Again, this is a recommendation from my therapist. I have not read it on my own, but she said it was good. She said it was good. It's called, you know, Life Happens and You No Longer Have It. And the pieces that you're juggling just tend to fall apart. And then you start to really lean on God in a whole nother way. God shows up in a whole nother way and you lean on him. In October of last year, you guys, I had this urge, this desire, this craving to get into my word. I even posted a video on TikTok. I was like, you know, do you ever felt the desire to get into your word? I posted a video October last year, 2023. I got a study Bible. I started reading and then I started wanting to read more and I started getting excited, getting invested. Now God is pulling on me. Now I can hear God speaking to me. Now I just want to go to church. Now I just want to read his word. Now I'm leaning more on what he says about me versus what I thought I was. Now I'm leaning more on that. Now I'm seeing my character change because of who God says I was, because of what I was reading, because of my real relationship with God. And this is when I started finding my identity in Christ. I thought I knew who I was back when I was at the club. I thought I knew who I was again back when I was working 40 hours a week and still going on campus and still juggling. I thought I was a hustler then. But it wasn't until now where I really started to figure out my identity in Christ. But it wasn't until I decided is the best word to say, because it is a decision, to let go of my expectations. Let go of my expectations. And for me, my expectations was what does, you know, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to look? Who am I supposed to be? Letting go of your expectations. Let's talk about that. And we're going to talk about that with Galatians chapter 1 through 10, looking at the NIV version. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If we are still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. That's wild. Why is that wild? Because people pleasing was my go-to. Yeah, yeah. And I think I heard at one point, it was like, people pleasing is a trauma response. Oop! People pleasing being a trauma response. First of all, slow down. Take me out to dinner first, because what? I heard that on a video, I want to say. People pleasing is a trauma response. Girl, if you don't just bring me some bandages and some ice cream and sit down with me and watch this movie so we can cry together, because don't tell me that. Don't tell me that people pleasing is a trauma response, and don't tell me that hyper independence is a trauma response because you're trying to please people or please yourself. Stop it. Nope. Don't do it. That hurts. No. But these things are rooted in trauma, but they are also us trying to seek the approval of other people. In my season of being outside, wearing my Charlotte Russe shoes and my Dots outfit and my Claire's jewelry, in my season of being that and being outside, I was trying to seek the approval of other people. I wanted people to tell me I was beautiful. I wanted people to tell me that I was fun to be around. I wanted people to want to be around me. I wanted to be around people because I felt good. You know, when you walk through the club in some Charlotte Russe heels, honey, and you walking through the club in them Charlotte Russe heels, and you got one dude on the left grabbing your arm, one dude on the right grabbing your arm, everybody want to dance with you. I don't care what nobody say. You feel cute. You feel attractive. And I felt cute and I felt attractive. And at that season, baby, that's what I needed. I thought. That's what I thought I needed. That's what I thought I wanted. Because I was spiritually immature. And that's just what that was. That wasn't, that was me trying to gain the approval of other people. And now that I look back on it, as I've grown spiritually and mentally, I look back on it and I'm sad for her because, baby, you didn't need nobody outside to tell you that you were beautiful. God already told you that. He told you you were made in his image. Isn't that enough? Now that I look on the person that that found identity in feeling attractive from strangers in a nightclub, I'm like, girl, didn't you know that you were beautifully, fearfully, wonderfully made? Didn't you know that you were Christ-like? You didn't know that? Come here so I can tell you. Come here so I can tell you. Because God created you. You don't need external validation. God created you. And he did a good job. He did a good job. And then in the season of hyper-independence, where I just felt like I had to achieve all the accolades and I had to get all the degrees and I had to make sure that I was working a full-time job and not missing a day, making sure I was climbing the corporate ladder, I thought that I was doing all this for myself, but I was really doing it so people could say, dang, she's strong. Dang, she doesn't need nobody. Dang, girl. So you mean to tell me that you worked a 40-hour job and you went full-time in school and you did it for not 1 year, but two? Dang, girl. I was really doing it. Me to do. I miss that. And Galatians chapter 1 verse 10 reminds us that are we trying to seek the approval of human beings? It reminds us to check ourselves. Am I trying to please people or am I trying to please God? And sometimes you got to do it. And even now when you are walking in your season of focusing on godly living, even now you may have to stop for a second and check yourself. You know, I'm serving. You are serving in whatever capacity it looks like. And while you're serving, you may have to check yourself. Am I serving for the pat on the back that I'm doing a good job, that I'm giving to other people, that I'm giving to the poor, that I'm spending my time with the poor? Or am I serving for God's approval? What am I doing? And it's okay to check yourself. It's okay to stop in the tracks and check yourself. It's okay. Sometimes you got to do it. By Brené Brown, The Gift of Imperfections. When I ordered it off of Amazon 3 months ago, the reviews were amazing. So if you're looking for a book to help you embrace your imperfections, you may want to try that by Brené Brown, The Gift of Imperfections. I've not read it myself, but my therapist speaks so highly of it. So if you're looking for something, check that one out. And I'm going to crack it open one of these days real soon because I think it would be helpful. But how can we accept our imperfections and still strive for excellence? But we're going to refer to a scripture in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 through 10. In the NIV version, it says, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient. Ooh, my grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Period. God, you better tell him. "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." This is where you insert the praise dance right here. And then keep the music going in church, you know, and the drummer just do his thing. This is where you insert the praise music. This is where the pastor starts preaching and looks at the audience with a smile because y'all all praise dancing. "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." Period. Period. You want to know how to embrace your weaknesses? Baby, you can get Brené Brown's book too. But standing on 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 through 10. Embracing your weakness. Why? Because God's strength shows up so much in imperfection. He likes to use people who are imperfect. Because if you are imperfect, God is going to shine. Because ain't going to be no way that you did it without him. Ain't going to be no way. Moses had a speech impediment. But God still used him. He still used him to lead people. He still used them. He put Moses in charge. If you have a speech impediment, I had a speech impediment. I'm going to say it wasn't like a big one. So back in elementary, it's still hard to say it, but back in elementary, you know how they had you do the speech test? And they had a list of words we had to say. And I said every word right, but roar. R-O-A-R. And I called it war, and I couldn't say it, and they put me in speech class. That don't count as a speech impediment, does it? Nah, it don't count. But it's cool. I thought I had a problem back then, but it doesn't really count. But let's go back to Moses. Off of B. Let's go back to Moses. Moses had a speech impediment, and God still called him to lead people. If that don't say that God likes to take you in whatever you call an imperfection and allow his glory to shine through it, I don't know what else you could say. Because our imperfections allow God to show his strength. That's beautiful. Your imperfections allows God to show your strength. So don't be shy with that. Where you're weak, God is strong. You're weak in a certain area, no worries. Guess what? God can still use you. He can still use it. He can still shine through it because his grace allows our life to be fulfilled. Christ's power may rest in me, period. Period. In Indianapolis, our light company is called IPL. It's called IPL. It's our light source. It's how we plug in something and it turns on. Christ's power is our source. you want to turn into the purposeful person that he has for you, you got to plug into the power source. You want to see life more abundantly, you got to plug into the power source. How do you plug into the power source? You get in your word. You talk to God. You build a relationship. You have a connection. You allow him to work through you. Plug into your power source. Now, let's talk about finding purpose in Christ, because this also leads into our identity. Our identity is finding purpose in him. So how do we discover our purpose as a Proverbs 31 woman, which is good. I love that. How can we discover our purpose as a Proverbs 31 woman? We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2:10, where it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do his good works, for which God has prepared in advance for us to do." Baby, he got an assignment for you. If you think God doesn't have an assignment for you, go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and read that to yourself every day for the next 75 days until you understand that God has an assignment for you. Yes, you. Yes, you listening to this podcast. Yes, you watching this podcast right now. Yes, God has an assignment for you. We are his handiwork. God is the craftsman. He's the ultimate craftsman, and he has an assignment for you. We are created for his good works. Our purpose is in Christ. We have a life to live intentionally to do his will. How do we discover it? You stay plugged into the power source. I'm still learning this and I'm still navigating. As you guys know, I am honestly just getting into my word. I'm a girl, woman who loves to learn more about God, who is craving a deeper connection with God, who is craving connection with women who also love God too. I am not a Bible scholar by any means. I'm working on learning my word. And as I'm learning, I'm sharing it. But one thing I can say is, like, I have never in my life, in my 30 something years, 30 and some change is what I like to call it. Just know I'm almost 40, baby. Ooh, almost 40, honey. But I have never in my 30 something years experienced a moment like I'm living now, where I know I am walking in my purpose. But I don't know. What I don't know is, like, will my purpose, I'm sure it will. I'm sure my purpose will continue to grow and continue to be expanded upon. And I've not reached the height of what God is calling me to do. But I know right now, in the season that I'm in right now, I'm walking in my purpose. And I love that. That's almost like that song on TikTok. I'm walking in my purpose, baby. I don't know the words. I'm walking in my purpose, baby. You know what I'm saying? You know what song I'm talking about? Do you know what song I'm talking about? That's how I feel. Like, when I hear that song, I'll be like, okay, hey, you know, because I know I'm walking in my purpose currently. What he has for me in this season, I'm walking in it. And to be honest with you, listening to God when he called me in October, listening to him when he called me to get deeper into his word, when I got that craving in October to get deeper into the word of God, following that voice, following that desire, following that urge, understanding who that was the Holy Spirit in me, calling me to read his word, calling me to get deeper, calling me to share my journey with other people, allowed me months later, 7 months later to be walking in my purpose. So how do you know what God is calling you to do? You listen in, you lean into his word, you lean into his voice. And to me, leaning into his voice is reading his word. I didn't start hearing God clearly until I got in his word. There's seasons for me, or not seasons, but sometimes there's days where I want to read the Bible every day. That's what I desire to do. I don't get to it every day. Sometimes I allow my life to take over sometimes, right? I'm not perfect. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. But what I do notice is when I'm feeling off my square, and I'm like, wait, it's been 2 days since I read my word. It's been 2 days since I journaled. It's been 2 days since this happened. It's been 3 days. It's been 4 or 5 has been the most. And I notice that I'm off my square. And I also notice that I'm not hearing God's voice clearly. Because I think that God talks to us in different ways. To me, he talks to me directly or through other people or through scripture. To you, he may talk to you through other people or through signs. You know, God has his, he knows how to talk to you. You his baby, you his child. And what I do notice is that when I am not in my word, I don't hear him as clearly. It's very faint if I hear it at all. But when I get in my word, when I tell you, it's almost like God is at my shoulder whispering to me, because he's just, he's so gentle and calm and peace. He's at my shoulder and he's talking to me. And I can hear it so clearly when I'm in my word. And so what I say is, you want God to speak to you more, you get in your word. Pray first. Talk to him first. Get into your word. Read your Bible. Get into your word. Meditate on what you're reading. Journal if you need to. Talk to him after. Talk to him about what you heard, what you're reading. Allow him to fill up your heart. Ask for the Holy Spirit to come into you. God, speak to me as I read your word. God, speak to me. You're going to hear more and more and more what you should be doing. He's going to guide you. It's going to be so seamless, because you're going to look up one day and you're going to be walking in your purpose, baby. You hear me? I'm not playing. That's how it is. And I love that for us. Lean into his word. And this is how you figure out your purpose. You're living intentionally. God, what are you calling me to do? Your good works, I got you. Done. But one of the things that I think takes away from us in our journey, and I'll guarantee you, for me for sure, is navigating through comparison. Comparison has, or is, the thief of joy. And if we look at 2 Corinthians verse 10 through 12 in the NIV version, it says, we do not classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves by themselves, they are not wise. I've told you guys in previous episodes, I had a problem with comparing myself to my past self, to who I was back in the day. I had a problem where I was comparing myself to other people. And even in this season, as I'm growing as a content creator, especially one in the Christian community, I had seasons where I compared myself to other women of Christ. Like, oh, she's growing in her platform. Like, I'm not growing too much. What's going on? What am I doing? Girl, you got to get that out of your head. Because comparison is the thief of joy. God is not calling you to have a million followers today. He may not ever call you to have a million followers. It's cool. It is what it is. What is he calling you to do now? And are you doing it? Because all I want is to, when my time is up here on earth and I'm in front of my Father, I want to hear, well done. What did you do? I did what you asked. I did what you asked. That's what I want. And when you compare yourself to other people, God didn't ask you to do what they did. God asked you to do what he wants you to do. God asked you to do that. Are you doing that? So your journey may not look like theirs, and theirs may not look like yours. And it doesn't have to. And in most cases, it shouldn't. Because you are genuine and you are unique. And God created you for a purpose for you. Avoid comparison. At the best of your ability. And if it's something that you struggle with, talk to God about that. Pray about that. Seek therapy about that. Focus on your personal growth. Focus on tunnel vision, on your personal growth. How am I doing? How am I achieving? How am I growing? How is God using me? How am I making sure that I'm staying in his word? And then two, have a spirit of celebration for other people. Celebrate other people's success. It's a beautiful thing. Celebrating them. Now, looking at those things, how can we find security in God's love? We're going to look at Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39 in the NIV. For I'm convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in God's creation, in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is our Christ Jesus, our Lord. That right there. How can I find security in God's love? There's nothing that I can do that will make him leave me. Nothing. Because I'm his daughter. I'm his son. I'm his. There's nothing that I can do. God's love is unconditional. There's security in Christ. And remaining in his presence will reassure you of that. You, let me tell you a story real quick. So my youngest daughter, she's 10. I had on a shirt today, and on the front of the shirt, it said child of God. And she walks down the steps and she's like, Mama, why does your shirt say child of God? I'm like, because I'm his daughter. She's like, well, why wouldn't it say adult of God? Because you're an adult. I was like, baby, what? She's like, well, you're an adult. So why wouldn't your shirt say adult of God? Well, baby, because I'm his child. That's my father. I'm a child of Christ. That's my father. We call him father, right? And she's like, yeah, that's true. That's true. My oldest comes down the steps and she's like, well, that would make you my sister. So can I call you sister? No, you can. I'm your mother on earth. So that means that you're my sister, mom. Girl, get out of my face. Because what? I'm your sister, mama. Girl, kids are funny, I guess. I'll be your sister, mama. I'll be your mama on earth, your sister in Christ. If that's what you want to do, let's go. I'm cool with it at this point, as long as you know you a child of God, too. But we understand God's love is, his love is unconditional. There's nothing that you can do that's going to separate you from God. That is a lie, a trick of the enemy. And I can guarantee, I felt like that before. Have you ever, you know you made a mistake. You committed a sin. You did something you knew you wasn't supposed to do. And you hid from God. Have you ever hid from God? Like, be honest. Be honest. I have hid from God. I avoided God for a little while. I made a mistake. I did something, you know, I knew I wasn't supposed to do. And I hid from God. Just like a mother is to her child and a father is to their son, a loving father, a loving parent, there's nothing that you can do to lose their love. They love you regardless. It's unconditional, just like that. And even more so because love on earth has boundaries, but love from heaven, ain't no boundaries with that. God loves you. Nothing you can do. So hiding from him, for what? There's nothing that I can do that's going to separate my love from God. And if you need a reminder of that, baby, go to Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39. You can look at any verse you want to. It's just going to remind you that God's love is amazing and unconditional. And you ain't going nowhere. He ain't going nowhere. He love you. He love you, snicker butt. He love you. And I love this for us. So as we find identity as a Proverbs 31 woman, and we're finding our identity in Christ and not in the outside world, we're working on that. We're focused on that. It requires us to do some things. It requires us to embrace our imperfections. It requires us to seek God's approval. It requires us to rest in his love. Why? Because this is how you do it. You want to find your identity in Christ, baby? Seek God's approval. Understand you will have imperfections, but also understand God will use them. Understand that we want to rest in his love. We want to stay right there. And resting in his love, you got to also remember that his love is unconditional. He ain't going nowhere. He love you. You think God going to let you go? You think he going to let you go? No, ma'am. No, ma'am. Just like, you know, in our journeys, you know, a lot of us can attest. We were with God, then we strayed away. Then we came right back. And he took us right on in. Just like the loving father that he is, because that is our father. He's loving. So, thank you guys. So, you know what? Before I go, let me tell you what I picked up in this book that I got from Hobby Lobby. I told you I got the book from Hobby Lobby for $3.49. And the very first thing says, Papa God. It's the very first devotional. It says, Papa God. And it gives the verse, John 1, 12 through 13 in the NIV, which says, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Let me read to you what her devotional says, because I think it's so fitting for us to remember that God is amazing. He loves us. He cares for us. It says, this is from her perspective. And this is, let me repeat it again. Too Blessed to Be Stressed is a 30-minute devotional by Deborah Cotty, C-O-T-Y. $3.49, Hobby Lobby. It says, I'm often asked why I refer to God as Papa God. The reason is simple, because he is my Papa, your Papa. And when we make the decision to believe in him, to receive his unconditional love demonstrated by the sacrifice of his only son, Jesus, in our place, we were adopted into Papa's family. We become his beloved, adored, cherished daughters. Hey, we might not know we're much, but he thinks that we're to die for. The intimate term in the Bible for God the Father is Aramaic word Abba. The name Jesus referred to him and offered to share with us his as his Papa's adopted children in Romans 8:15. Children specifically chosen, handpicked, wanted. The Message version translates Abba into Papa. And I totally love that. It's warm, it's protective, it's delightfully cuddly. What name would be more richly expressed for our close relationship with our heavenly daddy? And then she provides a prayer which says, Dear Papa God, you are my heavenly daddy, a good and gracious Papa. Thank you for wanting me and loving me enough to die for me. I love that prayer. God, thank you. Thank you for loving me enough to die for me. That's real love. That's real love. So a couple of just reminders before we end today's podcast. If you are doing the Proverbs 31 challenge and you'd like a breakdown day to day, you already know what to do. Stink a butt. Head to the description box. My TikTok is there. And in my TikTok, I have the Proverbs 31 playlist where I'm uploading videos every single day for you to dive more deeper into the word and develop a connection with people too who love God. And I love this for us. The books that I talked about today, Brené Brown, The Gift of Imperfection. Again, I have not read it yet. I'm gonna read it though. But my therapist highly recommended it. So it is there for you. And then Too Blessed to Be Stressed, the 30-minute devotional by Deborah Cotty. If you're interested in that one, you already know what to do. Head on over to Hobby Lobby, cross your fingers. That is still $3.49. Let's go ahead and end out today's episode with a prayer. God, thank you so much for these lovely, lovely women and men who are listening into today's podcast, God, or watching it on YouTube. I am so grateful for them, God, and I just ask that you fill their cup this week. I ask that they come to you if they are tired and worried and stressed, God. I pray that they lay those worries at your feet, God, and know that you are our amazing Papa God, that you are there to take care of us, that you love us, and that your love is unconditional and super sufficient. God, we thank you for everything that you've given to us. God, we thank you for the purpose that you provided to us. God, we thank you for allowing us to have identity in you. Thank you for giving us the tools to find identity in you. God, we love you and are forever grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, until the next episode. Bye.